Oh, we're going to have to sing loud today. She said she's too tired to play for us. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to see all of you here today. And we are glad that you're here on this fifth Sunday of Easter. And I know Kathy said something, but thank you so much for everybody that helped donate. There were many that were here way early helping to cook and make the food and all of everything yesterday. So I just wanted to say that again. So thank you so much. But we are so glad that you're here today. And we are gathered together to worship the Lord and remember and realize that we are connected to a vine. And we are part of that. And I made an unusual statement that's up on the PowerPoint there. It's hard to distinguish the vine from the branches. And you may be thinking that seems kind of crazy, but a little bit later on, I'll be talking about that and what I think Jesus wants us to be in our lives. So we'll look at that later on. So as we begin, let's stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it's now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Well, let's join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin. Like spring breaking through winter's power, like the vine that supports blossoms and fruit,
God's word that holds the church in strength,
let us worship God who makes all things new. Well, let's join together there. If you want to sing out of the hymn book, it's number 382. My Jesus, I love thee this morning. Singing all four verses.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know.
Yeah. let's join together there for our opening prayer. O risen one, you are the vine and we are the branches. Your love is our strength. Your energy is our joy. Nourish our faith so that we can bear fruit in many different ways. We gather to offer our worship and praise to you. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. I'm going to turn next to 197, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And we'll be singing all three verses there this morning. Invite our kids to come forward this morning, if they would. Are you the only one? Oh my gosh. Oh, how are you doing? Hey, wait a minute. Stand up a minute. Let me read your shirt here. Come here. God says I am handsome. Yeah. Accepted. Bold. Redeemed. Protected. Courageous, kind, strong, and loyal. Hey, I like that. Where'd you get that at? Oh, yeah. It's got farm animals and all kinds of pictures on there, too. That is really cool. I love that. Okay, I have a question for you. Do you like grapes? Oh, you don't? You don't like grapes? Oh, my gosh. What am I going to do? Do you like apple juice? Okay. You like grape juice? I should have known the answer to that one. Let's see, what other? Do you like cherries? Okay. How about peaches? Let's see, do you like apples? Okay. Do you like bananas? Okay, I'll join with you. Something about the texture of them. Let's see, what else? What other fruits are there?
Cranberries.
Strawberries.
Cranberries, strawberries. I was trying to find ones that grow on trees or vines.
Bible times. And have you ever seen a grapevine? Oh, so there's this big long vine, and then all these little branches that come out, and on there grows the grapes. Can you see the picture right over there? That's kind of supposed to be a little bit of it in the corner there. And so the farmer helps take care of all of that and does all these things so that the grapes can come out and be real long and lots of grapes on there. And they make grape juice with it. They make wine with it. Gene Hirsch made pies with it. Have you ever heard of grape pie? I had never heard of grape pie until I met Gene. And she made one time. Yes. So, why is that? What? So, we're told right there, I am the true vine. That's Jesus talking. Wait a minute, how can he be the vine? And he says, we're the branches. So this is the vine. This is Jesus, and all these little branches are coming off, and those are us. And off of these branches, then, the grape clusters develop and grow off of that. And so, guess what? All those branches have to be connected into this vine, the main vine, or guess what won't happen? There won't be any grapes. And what's Jesus trying to tell us? That if we're not connected to Him, that we won't be fruitful and faithful in life. Now, what does that mean? That means we won't kind of act like Jesus. How can we act like Jesus? I thought Jesus was somebody awfully special and unique. What do you think? Are there ways that we can act like Jesus? Can we love people like Jesus? Can we be kind? Yes, be kind to people like Jesus. Help people? Yes. Care about people? Yeah, you know we're told. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? I bet Jesus played with toys when he was little. They may not be quite the toys we think of. They might have been little wooden things more so. But you know there's a story in the John chapter 2, the Gospel of John, that tells us that Jesus had to obey his mom one time? Yeah, it is. Yeah. And she said, Jesus, I want you to take care of this. And he's like, oh, mom. No, he didn't say that. But he kind of did. And then he thought, well, mom's right, so I'll do what she wants me to do. Why is that? Well, we're finding out we've got to be connected to Jesus. And then he helps us. Just like those grapes get all their stuff from the branches and then the vine. So that means if we're branches, we're kind of conduits. We're the ones that make the connection between us or Jesus and the world. We kind of stick it out there and be kind and love and do all those things that help. And that's how we show Jesus to the world. Okay? All right, you can go on downstairs. You're by yourself, so you're going to get to do a lot of things today, I bet.
And as they're heading down, we're going to go to our time of prayer this morning, and maybe you have a joy or concern.
I see lots of people fanning themselves, and I'm not the only one sweating up here. So I'm going to change something real quick. Hopefully nobody will get too upset that I turn on the air. At least get a little bit of it coming out there.
Some of you are probably really comfortable, though. Maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning. And we're going to let you do that, and then we'll go to prayer. So somebody this morning. Yes.
I'm sorry to tell that my nephew passed away last week.
Oh. Can you, the last name?
Evil-Sizer.
What is it?
Evil-Sizer.
That's interesting. Okay. So we want to remember that family in our prayer with the loss of that loved one there. And
then my sister's, she's not here.
Sharon.
Yeah.
We want to remember Sharon in our prayers. Is she connected with hospice? I was thinking you told me that. Yeah, good. I'm glad to hear that. And we want to lift her up and the family there. And yeah, I see another one. Okay, unspoken this morning. Somebody else this morning. Oh, way back over here. Let's go with David, and then we'll move left.
I had a granddaughter that graduated from Bowling Green yesterday.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes, we probably have several of those going on right now. Yes.
My grandson and his girlfriend got engaged last night.
Oh, wonderful. Yes. I love hearing the joys. So let's see. Was there some more going this way? I don't know if there was another hand over that way. Okay, there we go, Tom.
Yeah, Chuck Fay family.
Did he say Fay?
Fay, yeah. And his friend Buddy, who he took to the basketball game with him when he met with us. Anyway, went to the basketball game, saw him have his
dog with him.
Chuck.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, so, yes. I'm glad to hear that. Yes. What was it? Oh, yes, yes. Okay. So we want to remember all of them with just the different issues going on there. Somebody else? Anybody else this morning? Yeah. Okay, unspoken. Anyone else then this morning? Yes. I was wondering if somebody was going to say something about the DeWeese family. And, with the loss of Carla and Brad's farmer that farmed the ground that they have there. So, anyone else this morning? Yes. Oh, that's wonderful. 12th great-grandson. That's great. I love to hear those joys. Yes. Celebration there. Somebody else. Joys or concerns? You know, sometimes we talk about praying for families that have lost loved ones, but I love hearing those stories because it reminds us that life goes on. And, and part of the way God made us and created us, and it's a beautiful thing. So anybody else then before we go to prayer this morning? All right. Well, there's lots of different needs there that have been mentioned, and I just encourage if you would like to pray for some of those or maybe a need of your own that you could not lift up, I'd appreciate that. And then I'll come and close us out there. We're just grateful and thankful today for the joys that we heard and for everything that's going on in our lives and the blessings. And Lord, I know sometimes when we're facing difficulties in life, it's so good to be reminded of the blessings that are there all around us. Sometimes we can be a little blind to them because of something we're facing or some a family member is facing, and it can be overwhelming. But Lord, we are grateful and thankful that you sustain us through it all, and that we can look to you and stay connected to you in everything. And Lord, right now we want to lift up those today that have been mentioned. Lord, we lift up Sharon to you today. Lord, will you just grant her grace and faith and your touch upon her, and be with those that have been helping to care for her and the family members, Lord. Lord, we pray for Elaine's family and Priscilla's family and Joanne's family. Lord, all of those that were mentioned. I don't know all the details, but Lord, you know. And we just ask for your hand to be there, and that you would extend your presence with them in all that they're facing right now. And Lord, we pray for these families that have been mentioned, the Dweese and Evil Sizer and Aya family, God, that you would just grant your peace and your comfort and your grace in the midst of the loss of these loved ones. And pray that that your hand will be there with support from family and others that can be there just to be an encouraging shoulder during this time. And we're thankful for that today. And Lord, we lift up these unspoken needs today, the two that have been mentioned, and maybe others. Lord, maybe some others here today are facing something and a decision or whatever it may be, and they're just not sure which way to turn, and or maybe something that they could not mention today. The Lord, you would extend your grace and your hand into their lives, and that you would give wisdom and guidance and whatever it may be that needs to happen there, Lord. And we're grateful and thankful for all of those things. And Lord, thank you that every time we come together, whether it's for worship here or whether we gather in your name to serve and be a blessing and carry out mission projects, that we're so grateful and thankful that you are with us and that you go before us. And so we're thankful today that as we worship together, that your presence is here, and that we can hear from you, and we can be encouraged in our spirits, that we can go forth to be all that you've called us to be in this world. So I ask your blessing upon the rest of the service. As we break the bread of your word, Lord, may you just encourage our hearts and help us to realize that we don't have to live life alone, that we are connected to you and that we are connected to one another. And because of that, that your presence and your face can shine through us to people that are hurting or in need, and we can be a blessing. And so we thank you for all of these things as we ask them this morning in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thine peace. Amen. Thank you for joining us in prayer this morning. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. Thank you again for your faithfulness. And it's how we continue to be a blessing into our community and continue the work of the kingdom through this local congregation. as we are plugged into the vine. And so as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Join together there for our dedication. Loving God, bless these gifts with love. Transform lives with our ministries, that your people everywhere might know your grace in Christ, our vine of life. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from John chapter 15 this morning. John chapter 15, and this is our lectionary gospel reading for today. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 5 this morning. You can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. He lifts up any of my branches that don't produce fruit. And he trims any branch that produces fruit so that it will produce even more fruit. You are already trimmed because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. A branch can't produce fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Likewise, you can't produce fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will produce much fruit. Without me, you can't do anything. That is God's word for us this morning, and I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Well, according to a news report, a certain private school in Washington was recently facing a unique problem. A number of 12-year-old girls were beginning to use lipstick and would put it on in the bathroom, which was fine. But after they put on their lipstick, they would press their lips to the mirrors, leaving dozens of little lip prints. Every night, the maintenance man would remove them, and the next day, the girls would put them back on again. Finally, the principal decided that he had to have something done. She called all the girls to the bathroom and met them there with the maintenance man. She explained that all these lip prints were causing a major problem for the custodian who had to clean the mirrors every night. I mean, you can just imagine 12, 13-year-old girls, they were probably rolling their eyes and everything else. Well, to demonstrate how difficult it had been to clean the mirrors, the principal asked the maintenance man to show the girls how much effort was required of him for cleaning the mirrors. So he took his long-handled squeegee, dipped it into the toilet, and cleaned the mirror with it. Since then, there have been no more lip prints on the mirrors. There is a little final line that says they are teachers, or says, then there are teachers, and then there are educators. I want to talk to you this morning about bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. I am the true vine. My Father is the vineyard keeper. You are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When I was growing up in the backyard, and I don't remember when it was there or how long it was there, I'm trying just to remember. I was kind of racking my brain a little bit this week. We had a grapevine, and Dad had put two posts in the ground, and then there were two connecting posts running the opposite way, and the vine was planted right in the center between that, and it grew up, and it was tangled in on the wood, but it got so long that it draped over and was all over the ground, right there in front of it. And I can remember, the reason I remember it the most is because every time I mowed, it was just such a mess that it was hard to mow around and under the tangled mess of the vine and the branches. And when I was thinking about that, this week, I started to think, you know, I don't know if I could have distinguished just in passing between the vine and the branches because of that tangled mess that was left down there. And maybe that is one of the points Jesus is trying to make. Because as branches, fruit bearing has to do with several things. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. As branches, fruit bearing has to do with our connection to Christ. Now, that's kind of an obvious one. Depending on which version of the Bible you read, it could have said abide in me. It could have said remain in me, which was our common English. Or one of the versions, which I really liked, says live in me. Live in me. Why is that? Why is that so important? Well, first of all, we see that Jesus is the true vine. He is that main vine that is grounded, that God planted, and so to speak, and that God is overseeing as the vineyard keeper and all of that. And as I started to think about that, I started to think of a common expression that we use today. Jesus is the real deal, the genuine article, so to speak. He is the source of our growth as fruit-bearing followers of Him, fruit-bearing branches. And it's because of that connection that we have. And I want you to think of, as I did a little research this week, I was trying to figure out this whole aspect of fruitfulness. Now, Paul in Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, whatever. There's nine of them or whatever there are. And I think I hit just about all of them. But the idea that kept coming through is fruitfulness is about faithfulness. And so if there wasn't fruit coming on the end of that vine, then that vine was not faithful in what it was there for, what it was, what its purpose was. And I think Jesus is trying to get us to see that there is a purpose while we're here in life. Not just to make money and build a house and have kids, although that's part of the whole package deal, so to speak, if I could say it that way. But there's more to it than that. There's this aspect of fruitfulness and faithfulness and so forth, and things coming out of our lives that reflect Jesus. And I'll talk a little bit more as we go on here. But so he's the vine, and he's the one that we're connected to. He's the one. Without him, we would be missing something. I mean, have you ever experienced something, and maybe at home or whatever, and you were wanting to do something, whatever it was, fix this, do that, whatever, and you were missing something and you couldn't find it, and you searched the entire house and garage and barn or whatever, and if you didn't have that, you couldn't do what you needed to do. That's the picture I think we're seeing here. Without being connected, there's something missing. And I'll say more about that in a minute, because it's all interconnected. And so as branches, our union with Jesus then causes us to flourish or be fruitful, so to speak. Five or six times Jesus says it over and over again. Abide in me, remain in me, live in me, he says. And I think the reason for that is as branches, as human beings, we draw our sustenance, our vitality, our life, our ability to love, all of these different aspects and all those fruit that Paul talked about. We gain an aspect of that from him. It's like he feeds us. And out of that, then we experience all these things of fruitfulness and faithfulness. One translation says it this way, not just abide in me, remain in me, or live in me, but one author says, make your home in me. Make your home in me. How many of you know that when you're gone for a while, whether it's on vacation and you're having a great time and you love it, but eventually you get to that point, I just want to go home. I mean, have you ever needed a vacation from a vacation? I love those, because usually that vacation you took, you went everywhere and saw everything and learned a lot. Grand Canyon, Europe, I don't know, Hawaii, whatever you want to talk about. Saw things you've never seen before, the Smoky Mountains, whatever. The Red Forest. But there's always something about going back home. And there's always something about going back to Jesus. And he's always there. And he's there to give us the strength, the courage, the faith, the love, whatever we need in those moments that we face in life. That's not surprising. You probably heard hundreds of sermons with that. I want to talk to you about a little bit different aspect here, which part of this kind of jumped out at me this week, and I don't know if I really saw it this way. But with all of that, bearing fruit has to do with our connection to Christ, but bearing fruit has to do with our interconnection with others. How many of you remember during COVID, and you were locked up, so to speak, and you hadn't seen family or friends or church people
for a month or two. And when you finally got back with them, it was like somebody took a big giant shot of adrenaline and just shot it right into you, and you just came to life. Let me tell you, on more than one occasion, when I was having a bad week and I was at home and maybe not subbing much, and yes, I was working on stuff, but I was just alone more, and I got to be with family or church family or whatever, or went and visited somebody in the church or in the, you know, whatever it may have been, a shot that was to me in that moment. And there's something about that. But there's another aspect of it that this is what jumped out at me this week. As branches, we are awkwardly tangled together. Because there's also that aspect where after so long, what happens? We start getting on each other's nerves. Or whatever else you want to say, so to speak. And you know what? I think there's a reason for that. Because life is messy when we are tangled with others. And that's okay. That's okay. Nadia Boltz-Weber describes it this way. She's a Lutheran pastor. She describes it this way. The Christian life is a viney, branchy, jumbled mess of us, Jesus, and others. That's how she describes it. In other words, our interactions with each other helps us flourish. But how's that happen? We know if we're connected to Jesus, we can flourish. But how's that happen with others that either encourage us, lift us up, or in the same hour get on our nerves and drive us crazy? How's that happen? Well, first, I want you to see it's hard to flourish on our own. Now, I know for some of you, and my daughters would fit into this category, if you are introverts, you like to be alone. You seem to do better on your own and by yourself. But we have to be together somehow. Somehow. It may be hard to flourish on our own. You might be saying, wait a minute, are you saying that as the branch and the vine act together, we bear fruit? Yes, that's what I'm saying. As we act together, just like we did yesterday when we were driving each other crazy, and I was a little bit a part of that in the kitchen yesterday. I love to pick on the ladies when we're in the kitchen. And Jody always says, get out of here, get out of here. Is, you know, there's things that's got to be done. We got to take care of this. We got to do that. But when we all get it done, we've raised money that's going to be used for whatever we're going to need it for to be a blessing somehow. And fruit's going to happen because of that. But this is what really jumped out at me as I was reading this. The second thing is that God uses our jumbled, messy lives together to prune us. Now, probably the most common thing that we will do, if you have rose bushes, I used to prune them in the late fall before winter. My father-in-law said, wait till February, because I was pruning them and then they went through the harsh winter and got burned. So my father-in-law said, wait till end of February, early March, he said, then prune them, and boom. I mean, they look beautiful. And I was amazed at how quickly they would turn around after being pruned. And so somehow, I think when we're together and we're rubbing on each other, you know, iron sharpens iron and so forth. And, you know, sometimes when one of our loved ones gets on our nerves
And we might get frustrated and upset, but then a little bit later on, we might be thinking, well, maybe what they said was true or something of that nature. There's a pruning. God uses that to prune us. And not only that, so it's really strange. And there's one root verb that's used here. And it can mean, depending on its form, to prune, cleanse, lift up, or throw away. Now the question is, what is happening here in this story that Jesus is telling? I think he's saying that we are pruned and we are cleansed by rubbing together so that we can bear more fruit. But if for some reason we stop bearing fruit, almost every translation that I found says he throws us away. But the Greek word can either mean to throw away or it can mean to lift up. And in horticulture with vines, I found out from a commentator, we do it all the time. In fact, we start out this way, but in ancient Near East, they started out with vines just grew on the ground. And then when they stopped producing fruit, they lifted them up and put them on whatever. Well, in America, what do we do as soon as we plant a grapevine? We automatically start out and put it up because we don't want to deal with it later. But they didn't do it that way. And I think what he's saying is, I don't think it's saying that God throws us away. I think it's saying that God lifts us up so that we get, there's something that happens when those vines get off that ground, like anything. Instead of getting rotten and everything else, they begin to come to life again and flourish again and produce fruit. Why all of this? Why is Jesus talking about this? Why is that mesh of stuff? Why is it that sometimes you can't tell, like I was describing, the vine from the branches? I'll share this little story. A pastor was using a big picture he had of Jesus to help preschoolers understand how we are Jesus' hands, feet, eyes, and voice in the world today. The pastor said, if we are Jesus' hands, feet, eyes, and voices in the world today, he said to the kids, where do you suppose Jesus lives today? All of a sudden, all the kids, except one, said, Jesus lives inside of us. And the pastor was like, yes, but he saw that little boy and that little boy kept looking at his hands and his feet. And the story goes that you could almost read the little boy's thoughts. I'm so little and Jesus is so big. How can that big guy fit inside of me? Finally, with a puzzled look on his face, he said to the pastor, Pastor, if Jesus lives inside of us, it seems to me he ought to stick out. And maybe that's what it means to be a branch connected to Jesus. He sticks out of us. And there's something powerful about our connection with him and with one another. And I think ideally, as we grow in our walk with Jesus, it will become more difficult to distinguish between Jesus and us, the vine and the branches, because we will be bearing fruit like Jesus wants us to. It's about bearing fruit. Amen and amen. Well, go ahead and take a few moments and greet one another and share God's blessing. And then we'll close out with our little chorus there, Jesus, name above all names, this morning. tonight. Me, yeah, that she would like to go along. That's a great thing. I forgot to put the rest of that up. So we're going to try it out and see how we can fit all those words in the same melody with the second verse too as we sing it. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word, Jesus, loving Shepherd, Vine of the branches, Son of God. Let's just sing the first verse again. Jesus, name above all name, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer. Let's join together for our benediction. As God's children, go now to serve.
We go to serve in love.
May we abide in Christ, leave with Christ's love, and serve in love and peace. Amen. Thank you.